Today on Wings, Women's Solidarity Marches Around the World, Part 1, Europe. Conceived, coordinated, and produced for Wings by Mindy Ran in Amsterdam.
So nice that there's so many sister marches.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
500,000 people marched in the Women's March on Washington, D.C. What was equally unprecedented were the 673 sister marches that took place on all seven continents, with an estimated total number of around 5 million people. It has been hailed as the largest global gathering for human rights and justice in history. Seeing this as a seminal point in our shared history, Wings decided to send out a group of reporters to a variety of places around the globe. This week, we present reports from Europe. Brussels, the headquarters of the European Union. London, which had the biggest march outside of the United States. And Amsterdam, where it was a family affair. First, we travel to Brussels in Belgium.
This is Hannah Haynes in Brussels, Belgium, reporting for Wings. I'm at the Lights for Rights Women's March here in Brussels. There are several hundreds of people here, mostly women, but there are men mixed in. The energy is good. Everyone seems charged up, ready to fight for their cause.
I'm Joy. I'm from actually Chicago, Illinois, back home in the United States. I'm here studying abroad, actually, so I just got in maybe about 2 weeks ago. The atmosphere here is wonderful. It's so nice to have so many like-minded people around, and it's very welcoming, it's very friendly, and I absolutely love it. Back home in the States, I was actually an organizer on Hillary Clinton's campaign, and, you know, we put so much work in, but it's nice to come here and see, you know, just this group of people who are fighting for the same things, working for the same things, and are together for the same things. I was planning on going to the DC March, but I did study abroad here, and so I thought it was so cool that I was able to find one in Brussels. And I have so many other friends studying abroad in Germany, Ireland, the UK, and they're all able to find their own marches there as well. So it's so nice that there's so many sister marches.
Joanna Maycock. I work for the European Women's Lobby here in Brussels. And we've just come together because we wanted to show that we're united. We're united in love and we're united in anger. And we're gonna make sure that women's rights are protected, not just in America, but in Europe and throughout the world. We're actually gathering at the moment of the inauguration of President-elect Trump. So we want to send a light with candles. As the sun sets in Brussels, we'll be lighting candles, we'll be having a minute's silence, but we'll also be singing in hope and unity and together. So we hope it unites people, some people who have never been protesting before or demonstrating before, and I hope that they all feel part of one movement together.
My name is Tanya Gollert. I am one of the co-chairs of the Lights for Rights demonstration today. We are hoping that a lot of people will come together in solidarity to show that we believe in each other and have the same values, and that we don't believe in the rhetoric that has been happening in the past year, be it Trump's election, be it Brexit, be it what's happening in France and Poland. When we started this, we thought we would maybe get 200 people, and it just kept growing and growing and growing over the past few weeks. And as of this afternoon, it was 2,800 going and a total 10,000 interested as well. So we don't know what to expect, but there's already quite a few here, which is fantastic. The interest that has been galvanized since we started this has been fantastic. And just the enthusiasm and people saying, wow, thank you for doing this. We needed to be able to do something after all the frustration and depression we had in the past few months, you know. We hope to capitalize on this momentum and create something really fantastic. And it will happen organically, I think, but we're really hoping that something will continue out of this. But at this weekend, with all the different sister marches happening around the march in Washington, D.C., where they're expecting 200,000 people, there are over 600 marches all over the world on all seven continents in 60 countries, and they're expecting 1 million people on the streets. And Brussels is one of the top demonstrations outside of the U.S. Yeah, after London, actually. So, which is crazy. We never expected this.
Our voices will be heard. From Brussels to the world, our voices will be heard.
That's all from the march here in Brussels, Belgium. This has been Hannah Haynes reporting for Wings.
In London, as well as Solidarity, many marchers were concerned about life under the Tories, the consequences of Brexit, and the pressure on the UK's National Health Service.
This is Judette Guerrez reporting on the Women's March in London for Wings. I'm in Trafalgar Square where the rally is about to begin. There are thousands of people here. The protesters are made up of both women and men. The ages range. There's a lot of young women here. Students, placards, balloons being let off. I'm going to find some attendees to speak with who have been marching from the starting point to give you an idea of the feeling here.
I think that we've hit a stage where we're kind of regressing and we need to stop that. I think that feminism isn't over, it's just beginning. We need to get behind it and move on.
How do you think events will impact you?
They made us angry, and I think that it's like the first time that our generation has been so angry about something. And I think that that's like a catalyst. I think that this is like the last straw kind of thing. It's kind of propelling everybody to like protest and kind of rise up in a way that we haven't before. I think that sexual harassment is something that as a woman we get used to, and I think that that's absolutely wrong. I think that when you have somebody who is a sex pest in a position of power, I think that that normalises it. I think that that's very, very wrong. Because we shouldn't have to get used to something like that, and I think that it's something that we expect to happen to us. It's like one in three women in the world will get sexually attacked, and I think that that's something that we shouldn't have to put up with. It's demand to be changed.
Okay, we are family. Let's hear it from the sisters. Come on. Those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Let's not forget that there are many societies where women and girls face discrimination and violence every day simply because of their gender. And here to remind us that women's rights cross borders is the founder of the charity Women for Refuge, Women for Refugee Women, feminist writer and human rights activist, Natasha Walter.
To be here today, coming out onto the streets and saying to those who have taken power today that we will build a better tomorrow. A tomorrow based on love, not hate, on bridges, not walls. And standing here for women's rights, let's remember we are standing on the shoulders of giants. 200 years of brave activists who fight for the rights we have today. Let's pledge today that we will protect those rights, and we will use today as a starting point to build a future of true liberation. that we have to ask ourselves, who are we working with and who are we working for? Is this movement just about women who already have a voice, who already have the freedom to stand in this square together with us today? Or is it really going to be about all women, including the woman who today is trying to keep her children warm in a refugee camp in Greece, including the woman who saw her sister drown in the Mediterranean while they were seeking safety, including the woman I know well who fled rape and torture in the Congo and fled to this country for safety, only to be locked up in Yarlswood Detention Centre. Will we stand up for all those women, even in the face of those like... Yes, we will! Even in the face of those like Trump who call them illegals, or people like Farage who say they bring us to breaking point, because we know that women's rights are not divided by borders. We know, as Emma Lazarus said, none of us is free until all of us is free.
I was here to just to join and unite with all the diverse range of people, just to stand up and say that this is wrong and I'm against it. I'm against racism, I'm against everything that he stands for, sexism, everything that he stands for. Yesterday I felt so down. Well, since he was elected, I felt down. But today I feel quite inspired by just the show of force. If this turns into a movement, then that's my hope, is that we'll continue to fight against whatever's coming. I think just looking around today, we need to unite. And I think everyone that's out today, if we take what we've experienced today, a show of strength, and take that forward and just be prepared.
Tell me what brings you here to this march.
Well, my impulse was to turn out in solidarity with the American march, which I knew about. But then, of course, I began to think how important the issues were for us here in the UK. We've got a lot of the same things. It might not be quite the same nightmare as is now taking control in Washington, but it's not great, and things like the National Health Service and stuff are being decimated. It's neoliberal, you know, capitalism at the worst. And we're old, all of us are old feminists. We've been around since the 60s in this country.
Women's liberation movement.
Radical
feminists?
Well, I was a socialist feminist, but I have many friends who are radical feminists, and we're all still involved in various groupings and projects and campaigns around women's stuff. We're all lesbians too. All these things.
Pulled at the election of Trump. You know, post Brexit, we've had Brexit this year, and we've got Trump, and it's just appalling.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, what's the point of even saying it again? It's a travesty. And he's scary because of all his henchmen, who are probably scarier than he is in the end, I think, because they know more about how to put into place the loathsome and disgusting plans they have in hand that they want to get in. You know the phrase, things fall apart. Well, things can fall apart very, very quickly. But on the other hand, with this kind of indication that nobody's going to take it lying down, I mean, there's no turning back. We cannot turn back around racism. We can't turn. We have a long way to go, for God's sake. We can't turn back around sexism. We can't turn back about any of the things that, for instance, my friends and I here, with many, many, many others, have been fighting for decades. It's not exactly what I had planned. I'm 75 now, and it's not exactly what I have planned. But here we are.
You've been listening to Det Gerez reporting on the Women's March in London for Women's International News Gathering Service.
You're listening to Wings with coverage of the sister marches in Europe. Next, we travel to Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
This is Michelle and Germieke in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, reporting for WINGS, Women's International News Gathering Service.
So we're here in Amsterdam, and there are 3,000 people here coming from all over the Netherlands, and also there are a lot of international people. They're all very upset about Trump, who is elected as a president. There are also a lot of guys here, so we think they also support the...
Yeah, younger men, older men.
Yeah.
There are a lot of men here.
And we are at the Museumplein in Amsterdam.
In general, we're here for the children to see the...
Because you brought your children.
Yeah, so we brought the children, and we obviously told them a little bit about Donald Trump, but also about equality in general, for some of the things he said about disabled people, about gender, about Mexicans and people from other countries. So we're here to say, you know, we have to be equal and we can't see any of this prejudice, but also to say we're worried because we've come so far in the last 100 years on these matters, and we're worried that Donald Trump's presence in the White House is going to roll things back, not just in America but in the rest of the world, and show to our children that these things are really important.
And what's on your sign?
Kids for Kindness.
And then Matt made this one.
Build schools, not walls.
And then Isabella, who's there? Oh. With
Dump Trump, Donald Duck for president.
Okay, so why are you here today?
I'm here today because I feel like as a woman I should be here, and also just for everyone around the world, just to stand up for everyone's rights. It's so important, especially in these times.
Be friends and allies to marginalized people, LGBTQ,
and
immigrants.
Also in this day and age, that's so accepted and it should just be accepted from now on, and I can't see why it's not yet. So
okay. We also need to protect these rights.
I'm 17 and I'm from The Hague and Canada.
Okay. I'm newly 18 and I'm American, British, Canadian and Swiss. Okay. So I've got four.
It's not even necessarily that it directly impacts us, it's also just the attitude that now has changed in America, and it's so sad to see the way people are thinking, and that's only emphasized by Trump, and it can be emphasized all over the world if we let it happen.
As
so
well as it symbolizes this current alt-right movement that's prospering right now, and it's a very scary thought.
Yeah.
Originally Canadian, but I've lived in the Netherlands for 25 years. I'm here primarily to support the biggest march in Washington, D.C. right now and what's going on in America, but obviously here in the Netherlands, our situation is a little bit different, so I'm here to protect my rights here in Europe while I'm living here. I think any time people don't go out and vote, we're at a risk. I think what's certainly happened in the UK with Brexit and what's happened in the United States with their election, it should be a wake-up call for everybody to hang on to their right to vote and to exercise their right to vote. So for that reason alone, I think we have to keep our eyes on the ball, and that's why I'm marching. Also, for freedom of the press, certainly what's happening in the United States right now and how the election panned out with the difficulty on Facebook with fake news and the different beliefs that people are having in fake news. Now is the time to support the press more than ever.
Where are you from?
Italy. And
I'm from Lithuania.
And how old are you?
21.
And 25.
And what is the reason why you just joined the march?
Thinking about it when he was elected, because now we are living in Paris and everyone was so concerned about this thing, and actually we were wondering if this election will really affect our lives, and people say no and other people say yes. For now the point is that he seems not to be really acceptance man, really, you know, open-minded man. So I think that even if it won't affect our lives, it won't be really good for people that live there. That's the point. It can be really scary, and even if it won't affect our lives, I think that is right to fight for something that will affect someone else's life. So.
We matter. We're loud. We're organized and proud. We matter. We're loud. We're organized and proud. We matter. We're loud. We're organized and proud.
is Germieke Smits and Michelle Schuler reporting for Wings in Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Also in Amsterdam, I'm Mindy Rann with coverage of the sister marches in Europe.
My name is Ashley Cowles. I am a dual citizen Dutch-American. I am one of three co-organizers of the Amsterdam Sister March, and I was our official press liaison.
Why did you want to do a march in Amsterdam?
Basically because we thought, seeing all the sister marches being organized all over the world, and knowing that there's a lot of American expat activity here in the Netherlands, and especially in Amsterdam, we thought we needed to do something for all those people who couldn't be in DC, who are here and who support that cause.
Now, I saw right before the marches happened that there was a statement put out by the women's marches about what the marches stood for.
I think a lot of people know that it originally started with one person who thought we need to do something. And although it started out as a direct response to Trump and the way he talks about people and marginalized groups, it quickly grew into something that was much more than that. And what we're about is much bigger than one politician, much bigger than one platform or one policy. We want to empower groups all over the world. We want to talk to women and minorities, disabled people, people of color, and just tell them, we see you, we hear you, we stand by you, even though the rhetoric of this past election cycle is demonizing you. We are with you. We intentionally stuck to one area and didn't cross any roads, no pavements, just to make sure that everybody who wanted to march in whatever way was able to join. We had a wonderful group of about 30, 35 volunteers who were appointed as march stewards or safety marshals, if you will, and one of the things we told them was make sure we all get there together.
You applied, I understand, for a permit for 300 people. What happened on the day?
Well, we did think that we'd get a crowd of maybe 500 if the weather was good. And at one point in time, I think about 10 days before the actual march, something happened. We're not sure why, but something happened to make it go viral. Even before the Dutch media picked it up, we grew from about 500 to about 1,800 almost overnight. And we just looked at one another and said, okay, we need to really sit down and think about what this means for safety precautions, for, you know, working with the government, with the Amsterdam police, who were very closely involved with us, and see how we can make sure that it all goes smoothly and that everyone stays safe.
So on the day, how many people do you think actually showed up? What were your numbers?
When we came to that hill where we did the photo op, we saw that we spilled over that raised portion of the square, which would have held about 3,000. So I think, especially taking into account what the official police estimate was after that, I think we were about 4,500 people there.
No offense to the Dutch, but they seem to be a bit complacent, really. And they don't see the need to march, usually. What do you think was different about this occasion?
I think that this was an issue that spoke to people from everywhere, not just the Dutch. We had a lot of Dutch people show up and stand with us and march with us in solidarity, but we also had a lot of Americans and people from everywhere who just felt like what we had to say and what we stood for resonated with them. The Amsterdam police was very, very helpful in all of the organization. We discussed, you know, what are we expecting, what will their role be, and they were very clear about, you know, we're taking a very neutral role here. We're going to not intervene unless we absolutely have to, but we are a last resort. And I think that that really worked out well. In the end, you know, all they had to do was stand there, and the crowd behaved pretty admirably, actually.
Who showed up?
We had a very mixed crowd. I think one in three were men, We had a lot of families as well, people who showed up with their children. Some people brought their dogs. And the beauty of this initiative is that it drew people who were marching for all kinds of causes. So we had people there who stood for women's rights. We had people who were there for equal rights for LGBTQ folk. We had people for environmental rights, for human rights. And everyone who was there shared their story with the people they knew and the people they didn't know, so that we all became one big group.
So where to now? We've had the marches. We made quite a big statement, from what I understand, around the globe. A lot of the discussion is about it's going to be like the Occupy movement. It hits a pinnacle and then it does nothing. So what now?
We don't want to end up like the Occupy movement, which did a very good thing, but then indeed kind of died out. And the Women's March Global Organization is looking at next steps to take, because we do want to take that energy and harness it and work towards creating actual positive change. So we're looking at the International Women's Day for our next event. As for us in Amsterdam, we're working with Amnesty and other organizations, just like we did for the march, to see what we can work up as a really big event. We want it to be just as inclusive as the march was. We want to learn from some of the mistakes that we've made in terms of representation as well. We want it to be even more inclusive and intersectional. And the good thing about the global organization of the march is that there's always been a lot of behind the scenes information available to organizers, and that goes for future events as well. So that means first-time activists like ourselves can learn from people who've done it for years and years, and who have a wealth of knowledge and skills and information available for us to draw from.
That was the Amsterdam March organizer, Ashley Coles. Our thanks to our sister reporters, Hannah Haynes in Brussels, Yodette Jerez in London, Michelle Schuller and Hermika Smits in Amsterdam, and I'm Mindy Rann, also in Amsterdam, for Wings.
So many sister marches.
You just heard Sister Marches Around the World, Part 1, Europe. Keep tuning in to Wings for Part 2, Sister Marches in the Americas. This sound gathering project was conceived, coordinated, and produced by Mindy Rann. To hear this and other Wings radio programs again, email wings@wings.org. You can also visit our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio or on Twitter at wingsradio1. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, Jinx Houston, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the recent book, The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.